Hi, everyone, and welcome to AB Conversations, where we will help you CFP your way out of it, a podcast where you get into the minds of a couple certified financial planners on how we think and feel about everyday financial planning questions and what should really matter most to you. A healthier financial life starts
here we go. Now. Welcome, Mike. I should probably note that AB Conversations, but this is clearly not Adam. This is our newest team member, Mike, equally as handsome though, right? Mm-hmm. So welcome to first podcast. This is like baptism by fire, right?
Right. I'm sorry for ruining the AB portion of the, I guess it doesn't work out with adding an M to this. So sorry about that. We'll try and get through it though.
Yeah. You know what? Let's pinch hitting today. Pinch hitting off the bench for Adam, but on a topic, as I understand it, you're pretty passionate about. So let's talk about it. Maybe I'll set the stage. I think in your experience and also ours, saving for college is certainly something that matters to our clients, parents and grandparents alike. One, because, you know, that's a goal, continue education. But two, it's not cheap. I know you looked up some numbers. Private schools these days, we're talking what?
55,000
a year. And even public education is not exactly cheap. So we know student debt has been all over the news. In the absence of saving, you're kind of stuck with loans. So let's just talk about it. There are ways you can go about saving for college, and perhaps more specifically to what we want to get into today. This very popular 529 plan may not be the right fit. So let's do it. Let's start. Where do you, in thinking about client conversations, kind of start the savings conversation?
Well, I have a bias towards, and I hope most advisors do, is that first of all, take care of yourself. You need to make sure that your retirement is secure as possible. And that the kids, selfishly, the kids can take care of themselves. So, you know, there's...
Or, I don't mean to interrupt. You can take out a loan for college. You can't take out a loan for your retirement.
Right. Right. So therein lies where the conversation will begin. Now, let's assume that we're in a good spot to start having that conversation. I used to be of the mindset that really 529 is, that's what you do. Set up an account, yep. 529, set up monthly savings, and you know, do as much as you can and continue to like max out your retirement savings, max, you know, try and max out as much as you can towards this college savings. In practice, what I have seen, however, is that it's not always right, and that I see that it's either, I've actually come across situations where it's overfunded. So you have people with, they're in enough secure footing that they have overfunded their child's 529, which can lead to other problems. And then the other side of it is that it's, if people don't have, if people are spending money on their children, it's in a, just a normal daily kind of basis, daycare,
yeah, sure.
Education in a private school or sports teams.
Right. Yeah.
Those are things that you need to spend money on. The numbers that I saw was 300,000 to raise a child from 0 to 17. That's about $18,000 a year.
Are you sure you wanted to have that third kid? Now that we're throwing numbers at this, Mike.
Well, as you well know, it's not always an X's and O's like financial. Planning, you know, it can't always be black and white. It's got to be a personal type of decision. So was it the best decision from a financial planning situation? No. But we can't always look at it like that. We drive ourselves crazy. So I don't know from a financial planning, financial advisor hat, whether that was a great idea, but don't tell my wife that I said that.
So now that I drove that off the rails, so what I hear you saying, and we have some of these same conversations too, that 529, maybe the downside is a little bit of lack of flexibility. You know, once it's in there, that's really has to be used for those college expenses. Is that your biggest gripe with the plan?
Yes, they opened it up recently. Not sure what year it was, but they've opened it up to allow to pay for education for K to 12. So that's up to $10,000 a year can be used on K to 12. So that's great. That's an awesome use for that. But the lack of flexibility. First of all, if you get stuck in, well, there are some good plans out there. But if you have a 529 plan that has expensive funds, I've seen a lot of different fund companies with not much of a great fund menu, and the funds they do have are expensive and not the best funds. I'm not going to name any names or anything, but just a lack of flexibility there. In that it's locked in. So you can't use those funds for when your son or daughter wants to play competitive sports, spend travel league. It's average that a family will spend 10% of their income on club or travel competitive types of sports. The average was $2,500 a year. If you're locking that money up in a 529, you can't use that money for that. So I used to be of the mindset 529 is the way to go, and no one could tell me any different. I like to have the flexibility there. The benefit of taking the money, you get a state tax deduction. Pennsylvania, that's 3% benefit. Yeah. Okay, great. That's not huge though. The real potential benefit there is, well, not potential. The benefit is that it grows tax free, and then when you use it, it comes out tax free. So that's awesome. So I don't want to steer anybody away from using a 529, but it's not the silver bullet for people's lives. The custodial accounts, the UGMA, Uniform Gift to Minors account, a lot of flexibility there, can invest in a number of different things, ETFs, stocks, I dare say cryptocurrency, but you know, I don't recommend that, but people that want to.
This has got to get through compliance, Mike.
Well, people that want to can do that. I'm saying that there's flexibility when you have these things. And so the 529 locks you in for certain different things.
Go ahead. Real quickly, then let's break that down. Because I think, you know, as financial planners, your experience, certainly what we've been doing here, the key is to try to figure out like what the priority is, acknowledging that for the focus on one pro of a way of going about savings, you're giving up something else, right? You said it, there's no silver bullet. So in the absence of a 529, if you really want the flexibility, custodial account, you'd say is number one. Are there like other ways that you would go about saving for college though? If college was maybe like a secondary goal, or you weren't really sure where the priority was supposed to be yet. You know, I think about some of the people we meet, maybe even somebody, you know, you're my age, where at 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old, I'm not sure where Lucas's life is going to head and whether he wants to be, you know, a mechanic working on trucks or whether he wants to be, you know, making rockets one day. You know, the educational experience is going to be very different. If I'm not sure, where do you think the best place to kind of park that savings is?
Well, the custodial account would be your go-to for that. Because if you think about it, Ben, like if it does come to a point where you're like, this kid does want to be rocket scientist, we're going to send him to Berkeley and have a huge, you know, bill or something. You know, I just named Berkeley. I don't know if they do rocket. MIT maybe. But we'll have this huge bill, right? So then you could just move then at that point, move that money to the 529. I go for flexibility. I go for, you know, the ability to change your mind. And once it's locked up in that 529, you can't do that much. It is portable to other family members. So if your son says, all right, I'm not going to go to college, or we have all this saved and he's going to go to a vocational school, and then you're not going to use all of it, well, that's great. Then we can pass it to another kid. I've actually seen it where there were two daughters They had overfunded 529s and they are out of college. You know, that just thinking about that, what they did was continued to let that grow. And so grandkids that weren't even born yet, they sure. said, well, we'll just keep that there. We'll keep investing it. And then we'll pass that down to our kids, or the grandkids.
Yeah.
And so there are benefits again to these, but it's just, as we've said multiple times, it's not the only way to go.
So I want to bring up something, cause something popped in my head when you said that. I think for certain clients, or again, I'll put grandparents, not just parents, we're talking as parents here, but grandparents can be in this camp too. If the intent is to save, I think sometimes their primary objective is to feel like I've mentally accounted for this, right? So I want to set this money aside yeah. in a specific account where I know that it's theirs. And I wonder if sometimes that's why they default to education account 529 with their name on it. When really, if the intent was just to save some money, that idea of pooling it together into one 529 plan where you can change the beneficiary does make a little sense. But I think you do have to go back to that primary objective, specific accounts for each grandchild. You may end up in that spot where you've overfunded.
Yeah. Yes. It definitely can be the case. And one thing we haven't mentioned is as an option is actually I-bonds. I-bonds are one way. Another way that we can utilize it's just another tool. 9.6% is the current rate as of through October. That's not always going to be the case, but here's a tool to save money and combat against inflation. Although college costs have gone way up compared to inflation. So, you know, maybe that's just one little avenue you could use. Sorry, I-bonds just popped into my mind as one.
Well, then, let's clarify it though. So I-bond, that's a treasury bond. You have to buy it directly through the treasury, but there are caps to that, right? So unlike a custodial account or 529, you'd be able to earmark a certain amount of money per, I'm relying on you here, per individual. Yeah. It's like 10 grand per.
Yeah, it's really weird. They have $10,000 per individual social security number. And then you can also do another 5,000 in paper. So a paper application. So I don't know where they come up with all that, like why the difference between 10 and 5 there, but that it's 15,000. So hypothetically, you have a new baby, and it's a husband, wife, and a new baby. You could do 15 each into that. Historically, the I-bonds, you know, it's more like 3%. Maybe less percent. It's right. not been a huge, it's not been a huge like vehicle for returns. It's in the news a lot now because you have something that's returning 9-something% and everything else is like, you know, it's hurting. Going down in the red. So yeah. I-bonds have become popular recently, and we've seen it in the news anecdotally, and just saying here's something that might be attractive.
So 529s, custodial accounts, brought up I-bonds. How do you feel about the Roth IRA as one of those, hey, save for myself first, but if necessary, there's some accessibility there, right?
Right. That so they're you can use those contributions and always that's after tax money. So you can always pull that out, but you hold the account and those earnings for more than 5 years, that can come out. Everything can come out for educational purposes. That's penalty and tax free. What I would say is a couple things about the Roth and the custodial account. It can complicate student aid. The Roth IRA, sure. When that comes out, it's considered income. And so it's just those things can complicate when you're filling out the FAFSA and what kind of student aid can be applied. So it's always worth, that's just another kind of consideration. Yeah. 529, a little bit more favorable in terms of getting as much student aid as possible. So, you know, as we go back and forth here, there's just trade-offs on things. And I just lean towards the flexibility of everything and the upfront, the lack of like the federal deduction on that 529 is what really like gets me as far as like not being it, between the inflexibility of a 529, once it's in there, it's locked in, and the lack of like a federal deduction.
Yeah.
That's kind of what makes me more biased towards keeping it in the custodial account and being able to spend it when your baseball team makes, you know, the finals and you have to spend $5,000 that year. I'm just getting into it now. You know better than me that these sports leagues, these sports teams, I mean, it can just get crazy. My son's 8 years old. He didn't make the travel team. I feel like, oh no, we're done. We're not going to be able to, you know, make the varsity team in high school. So, but like, it's just crazy competitive. It's just really what hits home for me as far as like, how much money should I be contributing to my 529 and how much money should I keep on hand for when he wants to go to summer camp? It's just,
yeah.
So it's a balance. It comes down to a personal feeling, and that's what we stress when we meet with clients. Like, there's a financial answer to this, but there's also like what makes you feel good and be able to sleep at night and feel okay about what's going to happen next.
Yeah, because I know that you know this. So I'm saying this to kind of you getting into the fold with Adam and I on some of this advice. We'll often say, what's the right thing to do? Well, it depends, right? And I think using your son as a great example here, he's 8 years old. Right? Things are going to change. Priorities are going to change. Interests are going to change. Our financial lives, they're going to change. So anytime you're doing these projections or you're like, hey, if I put this here and I get this, here's what I'm going to have, you're still making assumptions. So I really appreciate you being willing to share kind of perspective today on if flexibility matters, and to us in planning, it always does. There may be other ways to think about going about this college saving. So
absolutely. I think I would just like to drive that home is what we've titled this, or what we've hit at, is it's not just the one be all solution.
Yeah.
And so like, we're not against it. It's just that it's not the only way. And there's other ways to think about it. And then I'd circle back to how we started was make sure you're taking care of yourself first. That's what I would always do is, and then we'll work on the college in 15 to 10 years or whatever the heck case it is. And we can get student aid, we can get loans and worry about that. But, you know, there's, again, no loans for the retirement.
You got it. Well, hey, I hope that felt good. You know, first time going through a little podcast here. I'll break the news to Adam that you had a pretty good at bat here.
All right. I expect it to be tougher with him on here. him fact checking and being able to run numbers really quickly and just having a human database.
Yeah, let's be honest. You guys are kicking me off the next time. So
okay.
appreciate your insights here. Catch you next time.
All right. See you then.
Hey everyone, Adam and I really appreciate you tuning in. Please note that the opinions we voiced in the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be most appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any decisions or investing. Thanks for listening.